The eighth parak is a follow-up of the prior parak where we discussed what has Kedusha Shvi'is, what's fruits and produce and what plants have Kedusha Shvi'is. And now we're going to talk in our parak about the uses of items that have Kedusha Shvi'is, what's permitted and what is not permitted, what limitations do we have because we have Kedusha Shvi'is. So in our Mishnah Aleph, we're going to talk specifically about uses. If we have something that's designated for one use, we will say a higher use, can it be used for another use? Or what if something that has Kedusha Shvi'is has dual purposes or three purposes or something like that? So the Mishnah says as follows, Kla Gadol Amar B'Shvi'is. Again, we have a Kla Gadol, a very important principle as it comes to Shvi'is, and now we're actually going to divide it into three different parts. So this Mishnah says as follows, Kol hamyuchad l'ma'achal adam, if we have an item, for example, a fruit, some produce that is designated for use as eating for a person. Accordingly, that's a very high important use, so it has to be used only for its usual normal use. Ein osim mimenu milugma l'adam, it would not be permitted to use it as an ointment for example, a medicinal ointment for people, because that is human food. Don't use it as an ointment. Vein tzarech lo lomar l'behemah, and certainly kal v'chomer, don't use it as an ointment for an animal. And also the same thing would apply, don't use it as a food for an animal, because this is something that is for human use and it has Kedusha Shvi'is, it has to use for its normal specific use and not for other uses. Point number two in the Mishnah, t'chol she'eno miyuchad l'ma'achal adam, anything that is not designated specifically for human consumption, but rather for animal consumption, if that's the case, osin mimenu melugma l'ma'adam, we are permitted to use it as an ointment for people. So apparently that's a more important, significant use. So even though this is typically used as an animal food, but we can use it for a person, certainly somebody can eat it, but we can even use it for medicinal purposes for a person, avalola behema. But if that's something that we're talking about is designated for food for an animal, we could not lower that usage and use it as an ointment for an animal. It could only be used for an animal for eating, and then above that as an ointment for people, and still above that for food eating of people, but not on a lower rung than eating of an animal would be ointment for an animal. And clause number three in our Mishnah, v'chol she'eino miyuchad lo l'ma'achal adam v'lo l'ma'achal be'ema, that something is not designated specifically for use, for eating, for consumption of a person, and it's also not specifically for consumption of an animal. In other words, it has multiple uses. Sometimes it is used for people to eat, sometimes for animals to eat, sometimes for fuel to burn it. So it has multiple uses. So the Mishnah tells us that our intent when we pick it is what's going to designate the use. So chashav alav lema'achal adam ula ma'achal be'ema, if when we cut it off, when we were picking that item that has multiple uses, we had in mind that we are going to use it specifically for food of a person and for food of an animal. So now we are limiting the uses that we can have of that item. In fact, it says that nosnim ala chumrei adam v'chumrei behema, because we designated effectively, we thought of it when we cut it off to be used for a person, people, and animal consumption, then we have chumras and we have to treat that item that has kedusha shvi'is with the chumras of how we treat the food of a person and the chumras of how we treat the food of an animal. What does that mean? So the Bartunu explains as follows, chumrei adam, what does that mean? We have to be machmir, how we treat food of a person, shein osim emelukma. It would not be permitted, as we've said in our Mishnah, to make with it medicinal ointments, because now we have that in mind, it's going to be eaten by people, so it can't be used for medicinal uses. And in addition, because we had in mind it also that's going to be used for food of an animal, we also have to have the chumras of the behema, which means it's sha'asul shalakan. When we have animal food, we don't cook it. So this item that we had in mind is going to have a dual use of consumption by a person and consumption by an animal. We have limitations when it comes to a person. It has to be eaten. It can't be used for medicinal purposes. When it comes to the chumras of an animal, it has to be eaten raw, not cooked. And the Mishnah continues, if we had that multiple purpose item that can be used for human food, animal food, and fuel, and in fact, when you picked it, chashav alav le'etzim, you had intended that you're going to use it for firewood, you're going to use it for fuel, harehu ke'etzim, it has the status of wood, which means it doesn't have kedusha shvi'is, because wood does not have kedusha shvi'is. Now it brings an example, when would we have something that has all these potential uses, person food, animal food, fuel, kegon hasiyah, Va'ezova, cornice, these are three type of herb-like plants that have multiple uses, so the use and the limitations would be dictated by our intentions when we indeed cut off those plants. Mishnah Beis continues in a similar vein, use of produce of Shemitah, how can it be used? So the Mishnah tells us as follows, Shvi'is nitna la'achila, Vilishtia ulesicha, the produce of the Shemitah year that has Kedusha Shvi'is can be used for eating, for drinking, and for anointing, as we will qualify right now that it has to be used in its normal fashion. Le'echol davar shadarko le'echol, something that is typically eaten, we can eat. However, we cannot anoint with something that we typically eat. Vilasuch davar shadarko lasuch, and we are permitted with the Shemitah produce, we can anoint with items that we typically anoint with, but as mentioned, if we typically eat it, we cannot anoint it. And now we're going to have examples. Lo yasuch yayin v'chometz. It's not permitted to anoint with wine and vinegar because wine and vinegar are typically eaten and not used for anointing. Accordingly, we could eat, we can drink the yayin v'chometz, but not anoint with it. Abal sachu es hashemen. What is permitted to anoint with is oil, because oil is used both for eating and anointing. That's the normal use. We can use it in the normal fashion. Accordingly, oil can be or eaten or anointed with. And now we're going to have a parallel between these requirements for the shvi'is, for the Shemitah produce, and the truma given to the Kohen, and the Maaser Sheni, which is one of the tithes given, not during the Shemitah year, but certain other years of the Shemitah cycle. It's brought up to Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says as follows, V'chein b'truma, same thing applies when it comes to truma of the Kohen, of the Maaser Sheni, and the Maaser Sheni produce, that we have the same limitations. Whatever is typically eaten, you eat. What is typically drunk, you drink. What is typically rubbed, you can rub. But what is typically eaten or drunk and not rubbed, you cannot use it for rubbing in these situations as well. So we see here a parallel on the one hand between Shemitah and the other hand, the produce of Truma and Maaser Sheni. However, there is a difference between them. Kal mehem shvi'is, when it comes to shvi'is, there's also a leniency relative to Truma and Maaser Sheni. In that, shenitna lahadlakas aner, when it comes to the Shemitah produce, it's permitted to use the oil to light candles as well. Whether that oil is tame or tahor, it has the Kedusha Shvi'is, it's still permitted to light a candle, to light a flame with that oil. However, Ma She'en Kein, in contrast, when it comes to Truma, when you have Truma that is Tahor, it has not become Tame, it is not permitted to light it. You're only allowed to light Truma that is Tameya, not Tahora. In contrast to Shemitah, whether it's Tame or Tahor, you can light it for fuel. When it comes to Truma again, only when it's Tame, and Maaser Sheni is the reverse. When you have Maaser Sheni, when it's Tame, you are not allowed to light it, but when it's Tahor, you are allowed to light it. So we see here the leniency of Shemitah, that when you have Kedusha Shvi'is, whether it's Tame or Tahor, the oil, you're allowed to light it, but when it comes to Truma and Maaser Sheni, there are limitations on them, sometimes when it's Tame, sometimes when it's Tahor, but you can't light them when they're both Tame and Tahor as well. Mishnah Gimel builds on a concept we've seen before, that it's not permitted to engage in commerce, for example, to buy Shemitah produce and then resell it, that's an Isra D'Oraisa, or even to collect it and sell it directly, personally, in the Shuk. We collect the Shemitah produce and sell it, that's an Isra D'Rabbanan. But there are times when it is indeed permitted to sell, even though produce has Kedusha Shvi'is. But our Mishnah is going to tell us that even when permitted, there are certain ways that we are required to sell and certain ways that we have to refrain from selling. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ein mochrim peiros shviis. It's not permitted to sell the fruits that have kedusha shviis, lo b'mida, not by volume. So if somebody comes, don't sell it by volume. Sell me a quart, for example. Lo b'mishkal, not by weight. Don't sell it by the kilo or the pound. V'lo b'minyan, and not by number. Sell me 10 avocados. Those would all be b'mida, b'mishkal, v'minyan. We cannot sell in any of those three ways. And even if we typically sell one type of produce, for example, we'll talk about te'anim. If we typically sell te'anim, we typically sell figs in a certain way, one of those ways, we cannot do even the second and third ways, even though that's atypical. So for example, the Mishnah says, v'lo b'te'anim, we can't sell figs, which are usually sold by weight. We can't sell it b'minyan. We can't sell it by number during the Shemitah year. Yes, that's a shinoi from the normal way, but we said you cannot sell in either of those three ways, no matter what. And similarly, v'lo yarak b'mishkal, and it's not permitted to sell a vegetable, which is usually sold by number. Please sell me 10 tomatoes. You cannot sell it even in an unusual way, b'mishkal, by weight, because mida, mishkal, and minyan are not permitted during the Shemitah year. Now, just to insert a comment, when it comes to vegetables, we haven't seen this explicitly, but we've mentioned it in passing, and we'll see it actually at the beginning of the next parak. The Isra Sfichin, Chazal came and instituted a prohibition that vegetables, for the most part, that grew by themselves during the Shemitah year, for example, seeds dropped in the sixth year, and those cucumbers and tomatoes grew in the seventh year, Chazal instituted that although d'oraisa it's permitted to pick those, they instituted we are not permitted to eat those. And we'll get into it more at the beginning of the next parak. So here when we talk about vegetables, there is a time that it is permitted to sell vegetables. And when that is if those vegetables grew in the wild, not in our fields, but they grew in the wild, so then it's permitted. So now we're about to talk about sale of vegetables, but we have another limitation, at least according to Beis Shammai, Omrim, Af Lo Agudos, when we're selling the vegetables in the field, you cannot sell it in packaging, in the normal packaging. You would have to sell it in some other packaging that you don't use during the non-Shemitah years, to make it very clear that this is Shemitah produce. But Beis Hillel somewhat disagrees. So Beis Hillel Omrim et Shadarko Le'egod Babais. If you have something that typically you package not only for sales, but that's simply how you keep it in your house and you packaged in a certain way. If that's the case, you normally keep something packaged in that fashion. Ogdim Asobashuk, you could also sell it in the normal way simply because that is how we keep those vegetables all the time. So we don't have to make a distinction then between the packaging. That's how we keep it in our houses anyway, so you can sell it in that packaging as well. And now the Mishnah brings a couple of examples not very familiar to us. Kigon ha-kreshin, b'netzach halav, examples are kreshin leeks, and the netzach halav, something we've seen before, a certain type of plant that has flowers that grow on it that are very white, like halav, like milk. So those would be permitted to sell in their normal packaging because we keep it packaged in our houses anyway. Mishnah Dalad deals with the situation of somebody paying an employee, a worker in his field. And what we grapple with in our Mishnah is that typically when somebody purchases Shemitah produce in a permitted way, you buy it, the Shemitah produce has Kedusha Shviis, and not only that, but the money itself that you pay for it also takes on Kedusha Shvi. So here in our Mishnah, we grapple with the situation of somebody paying a poel, Omer le poel, he says to the worker, go and gather for me, pick for me vegetables from the wild. We're not allowed to use vegetables from the gardens. Svichin is the prohibition, as we mentioned, and we'll see it in the beginning of next parak. But he says to the worker, go and gather for me from the wild some cucumbers, some tomatoes. And he says as follows, Hey lach iser zeh, go, I'm going to pay you this iser, I'm going to pay you this dollar, the shekel, whatever it is. Ulekotli yarakayom, and go and I'm going to pay you for your time. It's the implication. I'm going to pay you this amount and go collect for me vegetables today. So the Mishnah says, Scharo mutar, his schar, what he's paid, does not have Kedusha Shvius because he is being paid for his time. He is not being paid for the vegetables. If we buy vegetables, then the vegetables are still Kedusha Shvius and the money also takes on. But when we pay the worker for his time, not the vegetables, that money does not take on Kedusha Shvius. However, if we change the language and the employer says to the worker, Lekot li bo, go and pick for me for this Isar Yara Kayom vegetables today, the implication here is that he is buying the vegetables, not paying for the time, and accordingly, scharo asur, that schar, that payment to the worker will have kedusha shvis. Also means it has the kedusha shvis because the language implies that he is being paid for the vegetables and not his time. Okay, continuing. When indeed we have produce that has Kedusha Shvius, or we have money that has Kedusha Shvius, we are permitted to use it in certain ways, but not always. We are permitted, for example, to buy food with them, but what we are not permitted to do is to pay a debt. And even if that debt, the underlying debt, is the debt itself is for the underlying obligation to pay for food, that still, if we are paying the debt that has been incurred, we are not permitted to use produce of Shemitah or the money that has Kedusha Shvius to pay off that debt. So as follows, Lakach mina nachtom kikar bepundyon. If somebody went to a baker and he purchased a loaf, a kikar is a loaf bepudyon, in the value of a pudyon, and he says to him as follows, Kishe eklot yarkos sade avilecha. Hey, when I go and I go collect the yarakos, the vegetables from the field growing in the wild, so that's permitted. I will go, I'll pay for you. I will give it to you. I'll give you some of that. In that situation, it is mutter. So what's going on here is the Bartanur explains is that the person is saying, you know, I'm going to take a loaf of bread. I'm going to give you the gift when I go and collect some vegetables from the field to the wild field. I'll give you some. This is not a barter. This is not a payment of an underlying debt. It is a matana. They're each giving each other gifts, and accordingly, it is permitted. However, if that wasn't the language, if he simply went and lakach mimenu stam, if somebody went to the baker and just simply purchased on credit, he didn't pay. He took a loaf of bread. Implicit in that, when you do that, is you are buying on credit. So you are creating an underlying obligation. That bread that you take is on loan and you have to pay it. You owe the money. In that situation, lo yishalem lo midmei shvius, it's not permitted to go and pay with the money of shvius. It's not permitted to pay with stuff that has the kedusha of shvius. She'ein porin chov midmei shvius, it's not permitted to pay off that underlying obligation literally with the money of shvius, but kal v'chomer certainly with the produce of shvius, because this would be paying off a debt. It's to paying off a loan that was given, and accordingly, that is not permitted. So the distinction here is when he took from the baker, he took it as a gift, and he was doing an exchange. You give me this gift, I will also give you a gift. That is permitted because it's not paying off an underlying obligation that exists. But when somebody takes something on credit, he incurs that debt already. Thereafter, you're not permitted to pay off that debt with either the produce of Shemitah or with the money that has Kedusha Shvius. Mishnah Hay continues with the concept of what can we use Shemitah produce and as well money that has Kedusha Shvius attached to it. What are the permitted uses and what are the prohibited uses for those, for that produce and that money? So on a high level, we are permitted to use Shemitah produce and money that has Kedusha Shvius to pay for food and similar things. But some things that we may think are permitted are not permitted. Even if they would benefit us physically, that is not considered food or drink or ointment. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ein nosnim lo levayar, we're not permitted to take money that has Kedusha Shvius and pay a vayar, that's from the word bore. It's somebody who digs wells, and it's talking about buying water, but it depends the use. We cannot use Shemitah money to buy water that would be used for washing our clothing or for bathing. That is not for purposes of drinking. Drinking, as we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, we would be able to use Shemitah money for, but not for other water purposes. V'lo lavalav. And we are also not permitted to use Shemitah money to pay to a balan, which is a person who works in a bathhouse, in order to pay for a bath. So even though that is something that benefits our body, but that is not a permitted use for Shemitah money, v'lo lasapar, not to pay our barber for a haircut, v'lo lasapan, and not to somebody who operates a boat, a ship, a ferry, to take us across, for example, the river, so to pay for that ride. These are not permitted purposes, either for the Shemitah produce or for the money that has Kedusha Shvi's. Aval, no senchu levayar lishtas. What is permitted is to pay that vayar, that is the person who digs the well, somebody who sells water. They used to be called with the last name Vassarman because they were involved in selling water. So if the purpose of the purchaser is to buy it to drink, that would be a permitted use for Shemitah money, also the Shemitah produce as well, because that is eating, drinking, or anointing. Those would be permitted activities for Shemitah money. Ulechulan, who knows in Matnas Chinam, even where we mention that it is prohibited, but an exemption in all of these cases is if he's not paying for it, but he's giving for any of those things, for example, the bath and the this and the that, but he's giving a free gift. So in other words, it wasn't a barter. It wasn't an agreed to an exchange, but simply the person gave him the water to use for washing his clothing, or gave him a haircut, or gave him a boat ride across the river or something like that. And then thereafter, you give him as a matnas chinam, as a free gift in that situation, because it wasn't a swap for services, but rather it was a bona fide free gift, even if he's expecting that free gift, but it wasn't a negotiated payment, that indeed would be acceptable to use Shemitah money for that purpose. Mishnah Vav refers back to a concept that we saw in the sixth perek, second Mishnah, and we said as follows back then, that if somebody does not give access to others readily during the Shemitah year, and he has a field that is shamur, he protects it, he doesn't give them access, then he has limitations on what he is able to do in his field. So the Torah tells us, even on a d'oraisa level, that when he is working, when he's picking, for example, his produce that is attached, he has to do that b'shinui, he has to do it in an unusual way. And Chazal instituted as well, that on a derabana level, even for what has been detached already, it's not attached, but what is detached, he also has to do work with it, bishinoi, in an unusual way. So there's actually a machlokis on the Meforshim, whether our Mishnah is discussing when somebody indeed protected his field, and it's going to give us detail on what are the required shinuyim, because he didn't give access to people to his field, so he has to work in the field. Initially, we'll talk about when the produce is attached still, and we'll see that he can only cut off the produce in an unusual way. And then the second part of the Mishnah is when it has been detached already, that he has to press, etc., the olives and the grapes in an unusual way. Or there's another group of Mefarshim that explain that this is not even if he protected his field during the Shemitah year, but in all circumstances during the Shemitah year, that we have to do things b'shinoi in a different way. So the Mishnah says as follows, Tehenim, Choshvius, if we have figs during the Shemitah year, we have to, if the field is protected, or according to some, even if it's not protected, we have to ein kotzim osam b'muksa. It's not permitted to cut them off, and there are different explanations of what's going on in the language of the Mishnah itself, but we'll go with the Bartanura. You're not permitted to cut it off with a special kli, with a special knife that is called a muksa, and it was used specifically for cutting off figs. So you can't do it in the normal way. You can't use that fig knife. But what you can do is a more unusual way. You can use a different type of knife. And he says charba is from the language of cherev, a sword. So that would be permitted because this is considered to be a shinoi. So that's talking about an example of when we're working the plants, we're trying to cut off fruit, etc., that is attached. Now we're going to talk about shinuyim differences, different ways, irregular ways that we have to work with produce that has already been detached. So the Mishnah says, "Ein dorchin anavim begas." It's not permitted to press the grapes in the normal press, the wine press that we typically press them in, aval dorech hu ba'areva, but you are permitted to press them in a trough. If you have like a large mixing bowl or something like that, that would be a permitted way, because that is a shinoi in where you are pressing those grapes. And now we're going to talk about pressing of olives. Olives are typically done basically in two steps. You crush up the olives, and then you squeeze out the oil. So the Mishnah says, "Vein osim zeisim bebad." It's not permitted to crush the olives in the normal olive press. So that's how we crush the grapes. The olives. And the second level is ubikotev. You're also not permitted when we try to extract the oil from those olives. You're not allowed to do it in the normal fashion that they would put a heavy beam on top, leaning and squishing out those olives. They'd had a very heavy stone or stones on top in order to press out all of the oil, all of the olive oil from those olives. So both of those are differences. You can't crush in the normal way. You also can't squeeze out, press out the oil in the normal way. But what you can do, according to the Tana Kama, aval koteshu, what you do is you crush out the olives in some other type of pan, in some other type of vessel, container, umachnis lebodida, and in order to press out the olive, you can put it into a small olive press, but not the typical olive press. So we're doing both the crushing and the extracting of the oil, the pressing out of the oil in a different way. Each of those steps in a different way. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you just have to do the second step in a different way, not the first step. So he says, "Af tochein hu bebei sabad," is permitted to crush or to grind up the olives in a regular olive press. That can be done, but you need a shinoi when you're extracting, when you're pressing out the olive oil, umachnis labodida. In that situation, use a small olive press. That would be the shinoi. You only need the shinoi and that second stage of pressing out the oil, but not for crushing and grinding the olives before we do the extraction of the oil. Mishnah Zayin builds on a concept we've seen before, that the pasuk tells us when it comes to the Shemitah produce, it's permitted la'achla, it's permitted to eat it, but it is prohibited to waste it, to destroy it. And accordingly, our Mishnah is going to discuss a situation where we have Shemitah produce, and we also have truma, and is it permitted to cook them together? And the issue is, when you cook them together, the truma will imbue itself into the Shemitah produce. And the concern here is when Shemitah produce could become Tameh, it doesn't have to be destroyed. But when Truma, and now we're mixing them together, Shvis and Truma together, when Truma becomes Tameh, it has to be destroyed. Accordingly, do we have to be concerned that in the future, if we cook Shvis produce together with Truma, they may come to be Tameh in the future, and accordingly we're going to have to destroy the Shvi's produce because of the Truma that it is combined with. So the Mishnah says as follows, "Ein mevashli niarak shel Shvi's." It's not permitted to cook together a vegetable that has Kedusha Shvi's, b'shemen shel Truma, together with oil that has the status of Truma. Why? Shelo yevi enu lidei psuah, so it doesn't bring us to have to burn the Shvi's produce also, if the Truma component of it becomes Tameh. The whole thing may become Tameh, and accordingly, we may have to destroy it all because Truma is mixed together with the Shvi's produce. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He is of the view, I'm doing something okay right now, cooking them together. I don't have to be concerned that in the future, there is a possibility that this combination may become Tameh. I have to worry about what I'm doing right now. Right now, it's not destroying anything. I don't have to destroy the Shvi's produce because of the Truma. There's no Truma involved yet, so I don't have to be concerned right now what may possibly happen in the future. And now we get to a different concept, but a very important concept. As we've mentioned in the past, when we have Shemitah produce, it can be sold for money. It can be bartered for other food items. But one important thing is that the item itself, the initial Shemitah produce, maintains its sanctity as Kedusha Shvi's. It maintains its Shemitah status. And the new item also that is exchanged for it also takes on Kedusha Shvi, so be it for money or be it for another food item that was exchanged for it. But we're going to talk now about how about if there wasn't just a simple exchange, but there was an exchange and an exchange and an exchange. So for example, if I have pomegranates that have Kedusha Shvi's and I barter it with somebody who has bread, and then that person barters it for somebody who has meat, and then that person barters it for somebody who has salmon. So the Mishnah tells us, V'achron, achron, nitvas b'shvi's, in that chain of barters, the last of the items is imbued with Kedusha Shvi's, but nothing else before it except the first item that has Kedusha Shvi's. So in other words, if I started with those pomegranates, the pomegranates, they have Kedusha Shvi's, will always have Kedusha Shvi's. It was grown during the Shemitah year. And then as things get exchanged, the last item that was exchanged is going to have Kedusha Shvi's. So for example, if I exchange those pomegranates with salmon, the pomegranate has Kedusha Shvi's, and that's what it says in the balance of our Mishnah, v'hapri atzmo, also the pre itself also always has Kedusha Shvi's, that's our pomegranate. And if I exchange that for, we said, bread, the bread now says Kedusha Shvi's, and so does the pomegranates always. And the person with the bread exchanged it with salmon. The salmon has Kedusha Shvi's, but the bread does not. And the person with the salmon exchanges it, he barters for meat. The meat has Kedusha Shvi's, but nothing before it except the initial pomegranates, which always has Kedusha Shvi's. So that's why it says, V'achron, achron, itvash b'shvi's. When we're doing a bunch of barters and exchanges, the last item is going to have Kedusha Shvi's, nothing else but the ha-pri atzmo asur, and the initial pri that has Kedusha Shvi's, that will maintain its Kedusha Shvi's no matter what. Mishnah Ches continues to tell us certain items that cannot be purchased with money that has Kedusha Shvi's. Shemitah money can be used to buy food, and as we've discussed in the past, the uses of what we purchase. In other words, if we buy food, if it's typically eaten, we eat it. If it's typically also used for anointing, we can also anoint with it, etc. But the money that has Kedusha Shvi'as has to be used to buy food. The Mishnah tells us what cannot be used because they are not edible or cannot be eaten halachically in lochim avadim. We are not permitted to purchase avadim, slaves, servants. Vikarkos, real estate, ubehema, temeya, and also a non-kosher animal, midmei shvius, with the money that has kedusha shvius, because those are not things we can eat. Those are not food items. Vimlakach, and indeed, if you violated this halacha and you went and you used money with kedusha shvius for purchasing things which you were not permitted to buy, Yochal Kenegdan, there is a penalty that you have to take money that doesn't have Kedusha Shvi's and purchase food items, purchase food in the same value that you used inappropriately with the Shemitah produce. This is a penalty to ensure that people don't use money and items that have Kedusha Shvi's for an improper use. So if you do use it for an improper use, it's a make good. You have to replace that Kedusha Shvi's money in the same value from your non-Kedusha Shvi's money and buy an equal amount of food and eat it. Continuing, now we get into a discussion of how about buying korbanos, which is food, which could be food, may or may not be food actually, with money that has Kedusha Shvi's. So on a high level, you are permitted to buy korbanos that are not obligatory. For example, a korban nadava, we're not required to buy that shlamim, for example. So we would be able to use money with Kedusha Shvi's to buy a nedava, a voluntary offering. However, korbanos, offerings that are required, we are not permitted to use money that has Kedusha Shvi's. So accordingly, ein mevin kinei zavim, we're not permitted to buy the birds that a zav, that's a man who has a certain type of tumah, he has to, as part of his purification process, he has to bring kinim, couple of bird offerings, v'kinei zavos, or a woman who has a certain type of tuma, she's required to bring kinim also, to bring bird offerings, v'kinei yoldos, and part of the tara process of a woman who gives birth also has to keep bringing kinim. We are not permitted to buy these korbanos midmei shvi's with money that has kedusha shvi's, because again, that would be buying something that is an obligation, and accordingly that can be done v'mihavi, if the person indeed did use money that has Kedusha Shvi's to buy these things, and he should not have the same thing that we saw before. There's a penalty, Yochal Kenegdan. He has to replace that value. He used, for example, 10 shekel of money for Kedusha Shvi's in order to buy the kinim, to buy those korbanos. He would have to replace that 10 shekel that has Kedusha Shvius with money that he has that is not Kedusha Shvius, he'd have to buy food with those items and treat that food as if it is Kedusha Shvius. And similar concept, as we've seen before, we are permitted to use items that have Kedusha Shvius in their normal way. So for example, oil that's typically eaten, but it's also used to anoint our bodies, it would be permitted to anoint our bodies with that Kedusha Shvius oil. However, what cannot be done is anointing vessels. So, Ein Sachin Kelim B'Shem Erchel Shvius, for example, if a treatment of a pot, you're not allowed to treat your pot with oil that has Kedusha Shvius on it. That is not a proper use. And in addition, V'imsach, if you did it against this halacha again, Yochal Kenegdo, you would have to replace. There's a penalty by Chazal to make up that value that you used of the Kedusha Shvius oil for an improper purpose. You'd have to take non-Kedusha Shvius money and again buy food items and eat that food items as if it has Kedusha Shvius. Mishnah Tes continues discussing somebody who misuses an item that has Kedusha Shvius. And the example that we're going to have in our Mishnah, if it's somebody takes oil that has Kedusha Shvius, which means it has to be eaten. You can cook in your food. And even if it's typically anointed on the body, you can anoint it on the body. But you can't use it for other purposes, for non-food purposes. So the situation is, or Shesachu B'Shemet Shel Shvius, somebody who had a hide, had leather. And what he did was he anointed that leather with oil that has Kedusha Shvius. So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yedalek, Rabbi Eliezer is of the view that he has to burn the whole thing. That is a penalty, a knas from Chazal for misusing something that has Kedusha Shvius. For Chachamim Omrim, Yochal Kenegdo, Chachamim are of the view that you don't have to burn it. But what you do have to do is you have to take money that had the same value as the item that had the Kedusha Shvius that you misused. In this situation, the oil that you anointed on the leather, on the hide, you'd have to take the value, the monetary value of that oil that has Kedusha Shvius, and you'd have to buy food, and you have to treat that food as if it has Kedusha Shvius. Amru lifnei Rabbi Akiva. So now we continue, and that a bunch of Talmidim came in front of Rabbi Akiva, and they quoted to him what Rabbi Eliezer had said that we just mentioned at the beginning of this Mishnah. Omer Haya Rabbi Eliezer, this is some students repeating over to Rabbi Akiva what Rabbi Eliezer had said, or Shesacho B'Shemen Shel Shvius Yedalek. Rabbi Eliezer's view is that if somebody anointed a leather, a hide with shemen, with oil that has Kedusha Shvius, you have to destroy the whole thing. Now we have to bear in mind that they are quoting a psak of Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. So Rabbi Akiva knew the Mesorah, knew the teachings of Rabbi Eliezer better than those people who came and told him a quote from Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Akiva responds, Shtoku, be quiet. In other words, what he's saying is, that is not the opinion of my Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer, you are misquoting him. But Rebbe Akiva continued, Lo Omer Lachem, Mash Rebbe Eliezer Omer Bo. But I'm not going to tell you what Rebbe Eliezer's opinion was. So Rebbe Akiva is telling them, you have the opinion wrong, that I'm not going to be telling you the opinion. And the Mefarshim have a machlokas as to why he didn't want to disclose it to them. But the primary view is that Rebbe Akiva was saying that Rebbe Eliezer's view is incredibly makil on this point, and accordingly, Rebbe Akiva did not want to tell over that incredibly lenient opinion of his Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer. Mishnah Yud is basically a continuation of the concept of the prior Mishnah, where we have a group of Chazal quoting a psak of Rebbe Eliezer to Rebbe Akiva, the Talmud of Rebbe Eliezer. So the Mishnah says as follows, and this will be very reminiscent of the prior Mishnah, Vod Amru Lefanav. In addition, this group of Chazal said to Rebbe Akiva, Omer Haya Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer was wont to say, Ha'ochel pas kusim ka'ochel bisar chazir. Anyone who eats the bread of a kuti is as if he is eating the meat of a pig. So what's going on here? So the kutim were a group of non-Jews that quote-unquote converted during Bayis Rishon, during the first temple, but they didn't have a real bona fide conversion. They did it. They were motivated by fear because they were being attacked by lions, and they thought that they would be safe from this plague of the lions if they converted to Judaism. So there's a machlokes discussed by Chazal, whether that is a valid conversion or not. Some are of the view that the motivation was not ideal, but the conversion is valid. Some are of the view that the conversion is not valid. And even in the view that the conversion was valid and that they were Jews, during the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, when Ezra returned part of Klal Yisrael from Galus Bavel, from Bavel, the plan was to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Kutim didn't believe in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't believe in Yerushalayim. So they tried to prevent the building of the Bayis Sheni. And accordingly, Chazal, at the time, as led by Ezra, put the Kutim under Chayrim, excommunicated them. As part of that, it was forbidden to eat of their food. So either way, either they're non-Jews or that they are Jews, but there was a decree against eating their food during Bayis Sheni. So here we have Rebbe Eliezer saying that anyone who eats the bread of a kuti is as if he is eating a pig. Now the Bartanur points out that it doesn't mean exactly the same, because eating a pig is a deoraisa, an iser deoraisa, and eating pas akum, the bread of a non-Jew or of a kuti, would be an iser derabanan. But nonetheless, it's just focusing on the concept that it's absolutely prohibited to eat, according to this quote in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, it's absolutely prohibited to eat the bread of a kuti, just like eating the meat of a pig. So Amar Lahem, now Rabbi Akiva responds back when he hears them quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer, Shtoku, again, the same as we saw in the prior Mishnah. This is incorrect. That is not the psak of Rabbi Eliezer. But nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva continues, Lo Amar Lachem Masha Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bo, but I am not going to quote to you what the real opinion is of Rabbi Eliezer, the Mefarshim explained, because Rabbi Eliezer's view was really very makel on this point, very lenient, and Rabbi Akiva did not want to publicize the lenient view of his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. Mishnah Yud Aleph returns to the discussion of using items, foods that have Kedusha Shvi'is, but using them improperly. So as we've said, we're permitted to use it for food, and if the item is typically used for food, drinking, or anointing, or to feed an animal, that is all acceptable, but to use it for other non-food, ointment, medical needs on the body, etc., that is problematic. So we have a situation now of a merchatz, we have a bathhouse, a shvitz, shehuska, that was heated, betevin or bekash, with straw or stubble, shel shvitz, that has kedusha shvitz. How could stubble and straw, which are non-edible, have kedusha shvitz? Because indeed, those come from the wheat stalk, and those are indeed edible by animals. And we said in the past, something that's edible to people, or something that's edible to animals, or something that we can anoint with, those all have kedusha shvi'is. So this has kedusha shvi'is, and they used the leftover from the stalk of grain, from the stalk of the wheat or the other type of grain, in order to heat up the water of the bathhouse. So the Mishnah says, mutar lir chotzba, that it is mutter on a bidyavid basis. It should not have been done because the straw, the stubble, have kedusha shvi'is. But if it was done already and the water is now heated, bidyavid, it's mutter to get into that bathhouse. And the reason is because this is not a direct benefit from the straw, from the stubble, from the kedusha shvi'is. The kedusha shvi'is was used to heat the water, and the benefit is from the water. So it's an indirect benefit, not a direct benefit, and it's also only on a bidyevid level. If it was already done, then it's mutter to get into that shvitz, into that bath. Then it's permitted, but otherwise that would not be permitted. The mischashev, if the person who is getting into that bathhouse, if he is a chashuv person, that's mitchashev, he's respected as a Talmud Chacham, he's looked up to by people, hareze lo yirchotz, he's not permitted to get into that bath, he's not permitted to use that water, because people may see him there, and they may say that even on a lechatchila basis, it's permitted to heat up a bath with straw and stubble, which has kedusha shvi'is. So there we have it, bidyevid, that bathhouse, the bath can be used, but not if the person is respected as a Talmud Chacham, because then people may learn, they may think that you're permitted to heat up that water with kedusha shvi'is, produce with kedusha shvi'is, plants, straw, stubble, etc., on a lechatchila basis, which is incorrect. This is only on a bidyevid after the fact basis.